You're listening to the Primetime Roundup podcast. And now here's your host, Walker.
Hello and welcome in. It is episode 36 of the Primetime Roundup podcast. Hello, Internet. I am Walker of Georgia's own Walker and Charlie, along with TV enthusiast, fan, expert, and king of the North, Rick Hammond. Also known as the Moose. How are we doing?
Good. How's it going?
Very good. We've got a lot to talk about today, so I will jump right in. Yesterday was a big news day, but probably the biggest news story. Well, I know it was the biggest news story. O.J. Simpson is being paroled, and I kind of saw this coming. Everything I read and heard about O.J. over the last few days led me to believe that this was going to happen, and it did happen. And what's funny to me is O.J. is the same old O.J. I watched it on TV yesterday, and he's still playing that same charismatic Nordberg-type character, just laughing it up and telling people he's going to call him later. And but the juice is loose. Did you see that coming?
Well, it's funny because that's what everybody was talking about yesterday. Like, it seemed like a pretty much done deal. Because he gave terrible answers all day.
He did.
It didn't seem to matter. So I think it was already done. And somebody on Fox News actually made a good point that if this had been anybody else that wasn't O.J., it probably wouldn't have even went to a hearing. It would have just been an automatic parole, probably a couple of years ago even.
Well, that's the interesting thing about this is he got off on the murder charges years and years and years ago, of course. And when this whole thing happened and he held the people up at gunpoint in the hotel room over the memorabilia, what I've always been told is this crime should have been like a year or 2 years in jail. He got 9 to 33 years.
Right.
And they're like, hey, this judge was trying to punish him not only for this crime, but also for the double murder way back in the day. So he served 9 years and probably shouldn't have served that long. But if you still believe that he killed his wife and Ron Goldman, then it's probably not long enough.
Yeah, they're already rolling out the Goldmans today. They're interviewed, I think it was Good Morning America or somewhere.
Yeah, I saw
that. Is that true? I mean, it was armed robbery. It was kidnapping. It mm-hmm. was assault with a deadly weapon. I would only do 2 years for that. That seems pretty serious.
It does, but it was his memorabilia that he was going after. Now, that doesn't excuse him to go busting up in a hotel room with guns.
I feel like I would get more than a year for that. Maybe if I could afford OJ's lawyers, I would get less than 9 years. But I feel like I would have probably gotten 9 years, too. I don't know.
I was listening this morning to OJ, an interview from years ago where he was talking about this, and he was like, well, I was just trying to get my stuff back. I didn't realize what I was doing was illegal. I'm like,
right.
You didn't realize that going into a hotel room with guns and holding people up and robbing them of things was illegal?
Right. He said the same thing yesterday. He's still sticking to that story. Like you said, his same old juice. He said on the record, he's not a conflict type of guy.
Yeah. And that was one of the reasons.
He never acted in any sort of way strongly to anyone.
And that's one of the reasons he was paroled. They said he'd never been convicted of a crime. And they're not wrong.
He's a model prisoner. He was actually counseling other people to not be violent. They said the prison was actually better with him in it.
Well, he's going back to Florida, and I'm not going anywhere near Florida for a while. That's all I know. Let's get into Game of Thrones, a kind of setup episode, I felt like, on Sunday night. I don't know. I thought it was a little bit slow, but there were still plenty of things that I enjoyed about the episode, so we can get into those. First of all, Arya Stark just took down House Frey all by herself. So when the episode begins and you see the old man up there giving his speech to everybody about the feast they're about to have, I was right confused because we saw him die last season. But there he was, and then it turns out everyone in the dining hall is getting poisoned, and then Arya takes off the mask, and it's her. How badass was that?
The last scene they showed from last season was her killing him. So I wish they hadn't done that because, again, I feel kind of separated from the last episode I watched. I probably wouldn't have remembered It would have been more confusing. Like, I think I figured it out way too soon.
Oh, see, I didn't.
They just showed it. If they hadn't shown that, then I probably would have been more confused.
I didn't know if we were, like, flashing back to the Red Wedding.
Right.
I didn't know what was happening. But it just confirms my theory that Arya Stark is the best character on the show.
Right.
And then she goes out to the woods and she runs across Ed Sheeran.
Yes, now I was confused. That part confused me a lot.
And then Ed Sheeran had to delete his Twitter account for all the criticism he was taking about his appearance on Game of Thrones.
He did?
Yeah.
Why were people criticizing?
I don't know. He was only on for 2 minutes, and he didn't really say much. I don't know why people were upset with him.
I just loved it. Even in that time, he was able to find a barber that could make his hair perfectly coiffed, even on his travels through the forests.
You got to eat rabbit and drink blackberry wine, homemade, but yeah, you got a great barber. Let's see, what else was going on in this episode? We had Cersei and Jaime Lannister planning for the upcoming battle, which they know now is coming. They know that Daenerys and Tyrion are on their way, and they're coming for them. And it was a little strange to me that you heard Jaime Lannister, I think for the first time ever, talking about how they were the underdog, and we might not be able to win this, and we might not have enough of an army and enough people to pull this off. And then they were talking about how there weren't really any Lannisters left other than them. And I'm like, you know what? They're right.
Did she kill allies last season when she blew up that church and half the city? And
yeah.
I'm trying to see if she still got the army she thinks she does, or if she still got, you know, I feel like the people are ready to turn on her any minute now.
It was everybody. I mean, she took everybody
right
out, and she had to. But yes, what we're left with now is not much at King's
right
Landing. And I think Jaime was trying to tell her that, like, hey, we don't have the people to
right
to battle all the enemies you've made.
Right.
All these years we've been watching this show, and the Lannisters have always been the most powerful family on the show, and to see them kind of vulnerable for the first time, it was a wow moment for me.
It was interesting. And you said it's more of a setup episode. So I think for a first episode, I think people were a little bit disappointed there wasn't a big bang moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a short season. You're going to get plenty of those, I'm sure. This was more of a where do we stand type
right
of episode. And like you're saying, I'm not sure where we stand with her. I think she's on her last leg, maybe. I don't know. She's just kind of grasping at the old idea of what her house stood for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's talking to the Greyjoys, and that guy seems a little bit nuts, and I don't know if he's got much to offer, but he does have some pretty nice chips.
Right.
And as he said, if you can control the sea, you can control everything. So we know she's eventually going to team up with him. How far down the road, I don't know, but that looks like it's going to happen. The other thing is Jon Snow, now the King of the North, is talking to his people, and he's trying to rally them, and Sansa was giving him a little bit of a hard time, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Are they not on the same page?
No, it doesn't look like it.
It seemed like she had some different ideas of how to rule, and usually on this show, whoever's in charge is in charge, and nobody ever says anything, but Sansa was making her opinion known, and I didn't know if they were going to have a little bit of difficulty ruling this thing together. Sansa spent a lot of time with the Lannisters, so she knows how to be devious.
They kind of came to this together, but of course, he's the king. She helped make that so. I think she feels like she's got a pretty big part of the council. And she wasn't wrong, and I don't
right
think he thinks she was wrong. I don't think he wants her challenging him and front of everybody, but
right
I don't even think he thinks she was wrong.
And then Littlefinger won't leave her alone. And
7 years, I still don't know what that guy's up to.
He says, what would make you happy? And she said, right now, peace and quiet. And then she said, no need for you to have the last word. I'm sure it was something clever. We got into a very long montage of bedpans and and books with Sam, who's training to be the new maester. Sam's character has never interested me a whole lot, but it looks like he's onto something with this dragon glass and where it can be found. So I guess after all that, we finally got to a point there where he knows where the dragon glass is, and he's sending a raven to Jon, which is interesting. If Jon Snow ends up going after it, he's going to run right into Daenerys and her army. And I don't know if those two want to work together or not. The Hound is talking to the Fire.
When you say it like that.
We spent a lot of time with him. And then right at the end, we saw Daenerys who finally lands at the old Targaryen stronghold there. She got to go around and explore. That's where she was born. And then she says, are we ready to begin? And I'm like, yes, we are. I've been ready for 6 years. Go do it. All right, I've got a list that I think you're definitely going to enjoy here as we wrap this up. This is the worst sitcoms of all time. And I want to see if you agree, or maybe you have something that should be added to this list. But I'm going to give you the top eight. These are the worst sitcoms that these people have ever seen. You got the show Cavemen, which I think was based on the Geico commercials with the cavemen. Is that right?
Bad idea from pretty much Jump Street.
Yeah, aired for only one season in 2007. Did you ever watch it?
Actually, I had to just because everybody was talking about what a stupid idea it was and how bad it was. I actually did. It's been so long, I can't remember. I feel like I might have come out thinking it wasn't that terrible.
It wasn't that terrible. It was terrible enough to be voted the worst sitcom of all time. That's what it was. Number two, you've got George, starring George Foreman. Aired on ABC for one season in 93.
I think I missed that one.
Did he cook with a George Foreman grill?
Probably. I saw a picture when you say that. It's like the apron, the red apron.
You know, interesting story about that. Hulk Hogan was first pitched that grill. It was going to be the Hulk Hogan grill, but like he wasn't home or he wasn't around for a couple of days, and they kept leaving him messages, and he never called back, so they ended up calling George Foreman instead.
That's hilarious.
I know. I heard an interview with Hulk Hogan one time, and he was like, I missed out on what would have probably been the biggest money maker of my life.
Get your grill, brother. And see that infomercial now.
Number three, worst sitcoms of all time, Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, that wasn't even a good movie. I'm not sure who thought that was going to be a great
That was the big monster
idea.
With the kids.
Bigfoot, yeah, they find Bigfoot and bring him home. It was a pretty successful movie with John Lithgow in the 80s.
Just sounds terrible.
Like I said, it wasn't a great movie.
It lasted three seasons, though. It was on from 91 to 93. Number four on the list, you've got Homeboys in Outer Space. I don't even know what that is, I'll be honest.
It's the worst title of a television show ever.
Allegedly, it aired on UPN in 1996.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Number five, Ferris Bueller.
How long did that last?
It lasted one season in 1990 on NBC.
I remember that. I actually watched that because the movie was so popular at the time. It doesn't seem like it lasted that long, though. I only feel like I watched it a couple of times.
I mean, was it just the movie, or were they just doing the movie as a TV show?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah, there was already a show called Parker Lewis Can't Lose that was kind of a ripoff of Ferris Bueller. Yeah, that was on the new Fox. So then by the time Ferris Bueller actually came on, it was kind of like already done. Because everybody was trying to do it because the movie was so famous.
Number six on the list, worst sitcoms of all time, you've got the Friends spinoff Joey.
I like that show.
I got to say, I'm a huge fan of the show Friends, but I never saw one episode of Joey.
I watched it. First season wasn't bad at all, and then they kind of retooled it because it wasn't doing that well, and the second season was pretty bad, but it certainly doesn't belong on that list. It was hated when it was even just a concept. People just didn't want anything Friends that wasn't Friends.
Number seven on the list, Yes, Dear. And that show was on for six seasons. How is it on this list?
It was good. It was great. It was silly. Somebody liked it.
Yeah, you would think if it was on that long, it must have been at least doing somewhat well in the ratings, but that doesn't mean it's good, I guess.
No.
And number eight, you've got After MASH. So I'm going to assume that is what happened after the show MASH went off the air?
Yeah. Which no one cared about, apparently.
Well, they didn't. It lasted only two seasons from 1983 to 1985.
I don't even think it was like any main characters. It was just like the small part characters from MASH working in a hospital after the war. Yeah, I was not sure who cared about that.
They were just trying to keep the magic going.
Pretty much.
Some I'm surprised are on this list, like Two Broke Girls. That was on for 6 seasons. I always thought that was successful.
It was, and I've tried to watch it a couple of times because people tell me how funny it is, and I've never been able to get anything out of it, and I'll watch anything. It's just never been funny to me. I've watched 2 or 3 times, and it's just not funny.
The Ropers is on this list. Was that a spinoff of Three's Company?
Yeah.
That was on in 1979. Oh, Mama's Family. Now, that show was on
Mama's Family when I was little.
That show was on all through the 80s. How is that one of the worst sitcoms of all time?
Well, I mean, if you watch it now, it doesn't stand up. It was very cheesy and kind of horrible, but I loved it as a kid. I guess grown-ups, my parents must have hated when I watched that.
Everything was silly in the 80s. I mean, you had a show called Alf about an alien that ate cats. And we lapped that up. We thought it was great.
Oh, we loved it. We had T-shirts and lunchboxes.
It was confusing times in the 80s.
Is Alf not on this list?
No, Alf is not on the list. I guess Alf made the cut of one of the better ones. I don't know. But Joni Loves Chachi is on this list.
Aw.
That's your
reaction. I like that one, too. But I was Happy Days freak at the time, so pretty much anything.
Yeah.
I would have taken anything, Happy Days. You know, again, when you're a kid, you don't think of critics and you don't think of good or bad. You know, it doesn't. I watched some terrible shows when I was a kid.
What would you say is one of the worst shows you've ever seen that didn't make this list?
Well, when you first told me about this list, my first thought was Whitney. Comedian Whitney Cummings had a few years ago. She did a show, and it actually wasn't bad the first season, but then they completely changed the whole thing. They got new friends, and they put them in a bar and got a witty bartender, and it, me and my wife watched it actually just because it was so bad. We literally watched it just to see how bad it was, and it inevitably got canceled after that terrible second season, but it's definitely one of my least favorite of recent years.
I'm thinking back to the 80s. There was a show called Perfect Strangers. Remember that?
Oh, I love Perfect Strangers. Watch out.
And what was the one with Tom Hanks where he dressed up like a woman?
Bosom Buddies.
Surely that's got to be one of the worst, right? All right, moving back into current times, thank goodness. American Idol's coming.
You want to talk more about Bosom Buddies?
Oh, well, I mean, we could. We could probably do a whole episode on Bosom Buddies if you wanted to. I've probably watched most of the episodes. American Idol is coming back, and it was made official yesterday that Ryan Seacrest is coming back to host. He is going to earn $10 million. Apparently, the whole holdup was that he's been negotiating with them for 3 months, and he wanted $15 million. And he wanted to have his name listed as a producer. And I'm like, you're not a producer, you're the host, but okay. So he ended up settling with them on no producer title and $10 million, which is good enough for a few nights' work, I guess. Is anybody going to watch American Idol?
Somebody is, apparently. I was thinking that the other day. Maybe that's all we needed was just a break, because, again, it got canceled. Nobody cared anymore, apparently, and now they're fighting to bring it back.
I think we needed a break, but we needed a longer break.
A longer break, yeah. I could live with that. You know, I think The Voice is starting to wane a little bit. I think The Voice was on top of the world when this went off, and now that The Voice is losing popularity and we've had a little bit of a break, maybe they think it's going to be huge.
All right, well, we'll see what happens with Game of Thrones on Sunday night. I will be watching it from a hotel room somewhere in Massachusetts. So, actually, no podcast next week because I'm on vacation.
All right.
It's a terrible time to go on vacation with Game of Thrones just getting started, but my wife plans these things, not me. So I actually get to go to Fenway Park next week and sing Sweet Caroline at the Red Sox game. So
that's not too bad.
Nah. I'll let you know how that works out. I'm doing my bucket list of baseball stadiums this year. I don't know why. All right, man. I will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Have fun.